You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS.
Welcome back to No BS Nutrition. Happy Friday, everyone. Hello, Tariq.
I can't believe we made it through another week, Hannah. Hello.
Another wild week.
In the Wild West.
In the Wild West.
Speaking of the Wild West, I've been watching a show called Great British Menu.
I hope that you all know by now that when Tariq says, speaking of... whatever, it has, what he's about to say has nothing to do with that.
So Thomas and I started watching this show. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
There are a lot of like funny quirks about it. So the premise basically is that these like renowned chefs from England, they compete with each other in order to be the chef that creates the menu for like a big banquet at the end of the year.
Okay.
So it's like people who are cooking amazing food, gourmet, like a lot of these people have, well, if they don't have Michelin stars themselves, like they've worked in Michelin star restaurants, like these are chefs, like professional chefs. It's amazing to like watch them cook. It's amazing to watch like so many of the techniques that like that, you know, the average home cook can't even use because we just don't have the equipment, like pressurizers and things like that. Anyway, aside from all that, aside from how amazing the food is, the sequence of the episode is that three chefs are competing at a time. Okay. And they make an appetizer, a fish course, an entree, and a dessert. And after each meal that they make, they call them veterans. There are people who've previously won the show. They come and they like assess the dishes and they give them scores.
Right.
So the best thing about all this is they, oh my God, it's so funny. So they, one by one with each meal, the veterans taste them or whatever, and they're totally poker face, right? They go and they ask them open-end questions. They go, or not open-ended, but they ask them like, is this how you wanted it to taste? Like, like they might love it. They might love the thing. And they're like, is that the texture that you really wanted out of that? So poker face, you have no idea what they think of it. And then when they go to give the scores, they do like compliment sandwich sort of thing where they go, and this is every single one. Like, we've watched several different veterans do this, and they all do the same thing. I guess, like, the producers tell them to do this. They go, Hannah, your green beans were blanched to perfection. The lamb was broiled perfectly, and I really saw that you absolutely got the prompt on the dish.
Right.
It was a great plate of food. But... so they, and then they say like, this was bad and this was bad.
Yeah.
And every single time between each people, they cycle between saying, but, or however, and they say it like really intense, like that. They go, the eggs were beautiful. However, and it like, they switch it between the different people. So now all the time at home, Thomas and I go, but, like, just, I don't know, or we'll go, however, just, like, not even talking.
I love
so
that.
So that's my little thing about Great British Menu.
I love that. I think they, I feel like they do that on, like, MasterChef, too, like Gordon Ramsay. Do
you know what I mean? The compliment like, sandwich sort of thing.
Yeah, they do that thing. Yeah. They say, like, you cooked this to perfection, and this was fantastic, but, like, they always do that. And then they do, the critiques. So, anyway,
cooking shows are so intense.
They are intense. Yeah.
I love them.
speaking of cooking shows.
Yeah.
Kind of. I'm going to talk about weddings today. okay, so like I mentioned, excuse me, that's just my routine throat clear.
Gorgeous.
Back to the topic. I mentioned on Wednesday that I wanted to talk about, this is kind of just like an open topic for you and I to discuss. I don't have anything hardcore, like, other than I just want to talk to you about this. Like, I don't have I have notes. I have like an article, a blog article from another dietitian. She wrote a really neat article about like why she wasn't going to lose weight for the wedding. And I really liked it. So I'll read some pieces from that. But otherwise I just kind of wanted to have a chat about it because I think that, you know, as I was talking about last episode, I'm planning my wedding and, I am the bride. And there is this, like, it seems like there, from what I've heard and what I've seen and podcasts I've listened to, there seems like there's a lot of pressure to, like, lose weight for the wedding. I think nowadays, because we've become so familiar with how toxic diet culture is, it's not as, like, in your face anymore. Like, it gets disguised as, like, look and feel your best for your wedding. And in order to do that, you have to, like, quote, eat clean and do these HIIT workouts and whatnot. And anyways, I want to chat about that and like why that might not be what feeling your best or the route to feel your best is. So I actually read this article probably back when this dietitian like released it. So it's originally from 2017, but then she reposted it with some like thoughts added to it in 2018. So the blog is called The Real Life RD. The author of this blog is, I don't know what her last name is. It's not here, but her name is Robin and she's a dietitian and nurse practitioner. And she kind of focuses on, you know, non-diet nutrition, helping people make peace with food. And she also, like on the nurse practitioner side, addresses, you know, women's health and, you know, hormonal things and stuff like that, things around the menstrual cycle and how I think she kind of incorporates nutrition and her nurse practitioner work together.
Cool.
Because she's both a dietitian and nurse practitioner. So that's kind of cool. But anyways, she wrote this blog post that was originally titled Why I'm Not Losing Weight for My Wedding. And then when she republished it in 2018, it's now called You Don't Need to Lose Weight for Your Wedding. So she talks about, like her experience when she got engaged and how she pretty like soon felt the pressure to like look a certain way on her wedding day. So, you know, I'll just read little pieces, but she says like, I was that girl in college and high school who wanted a spring break body. And she says, as if my body, the remaining 358 days out of the year didn't matter as much as when I was like trotting around the beach for that 1 week in March. And she says that, you know, that was kind of her focus growing up, like that spring break body and always dieting for certain events and things like that. But she never really, she wasn't like the kind of person who like dreamed about her wedding or like, you know, always pictured her wedding and stuff. But she says that after she got engaged and she did start kind of picturing what her wedding would be like, she started to feel the pressure of like, you know, looking a certain way on her wedding day. And she mentions that weddings have become so like commercialized, which is so true. Like the wedding industry today is huge. Like, the weddings people have today are so different and so much more elaborate and expensive than like, you know, even when like my parents got married or our parents got married, you know what I mean? Like,
definitely
it wasn't made to be such a big deal. And I even remember, like my mom saying she got her wedding dress, like she just like went out and got her wedding dress and like, it was like, I don't know, not like $100 or something like that. I don't even know if it was that much, but like, it wasn't a big deal. Like today it's like you bring, like, you know, from Say Yes to the Dress, you bring your whole family with you to go dress shopping, and you spend thousands of dollars on a dress, and they ask you when you're dress shopping, like, oh, like, are you planning to lose weight for the wedding? Or you must be, like, planning to, like, lose a few inches before the wedding or whatever, when they're, like, doing fittings for the dresses and things like that. So, yeah, I feel like, because weddings are so, I'm just thinking out loud here. Like, I don't know if it's kind of like the chicken or the egg thing. Like, is it weddings becoming commercialized that, like, attracted, like, diet culture to them because they were becoming so big and popular? Or was it like weddings became an avenue for, like, you know, the beauty and diet and fitness industry to, like,
to almost take, like,
exploit and take advantage of? And make into these big events that you have to, like, look your most beautiful ever for and lose weight for and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But
that's what, people get paid lots of money to write articles to, like, basically make up trends in big publications that people will then see and follow. And then they don't know that it's basically just, like, someone's opinion. It's like, it's not actually maybe a trend, but then that drives sales or something.
Yeah, exactly. So it could have just been something like that. Like, someone wrote an article about why you need to lose weight for your wedding or something like that. Or this diet, do this diet before the wedding or whatever. And it just blew up. But anyway, so in this post, you know, she talks about how anywhere you look, like, if you search weddings, like, whether it's in a wedding magazines or you search up, like, you know, wedding planning on Pinterest or things like that, it's always, there's always talk about, like, do these exercises or do this diet or do this procedure or whatever before your wedding. I mean, I've seen it everywhere on, like, workout programs that I do or, like, workout apps that I use. There's, like, specific programs tailored to, like, brides, like, you know, this is the bridal program, or I don't know if you've ever heard the term, like, sweating for the wedding. That's, like, something in the fitness kind of, like, world that was, I don't know, I feel like a few years ago when I was I don't know, certain fitness programs I subscribe to, like, they'd have specific ones called, like, sweating for the wedding and stuff like that. So this dietitian, in her post, she goes on and talks about how, you know, she's very familiar with all of that. She's heard people, you know, on the subway or on the grocery store talking about how they need to lose 10 pounds for the wedding. Or, like, I talked about how, like, people have had comments made to them at dress fittings and things like that about, like, oh, surely you're going to lose more weight before the wedding. Even if, like, that wasn't even on someone's radar before. And anyway, so she makes one good point in the article of many, but she says, and I really liked it, marriage is not about the wedding and a wedding is not about the size of your body. So I think that's a good reminder.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's so many, I've heard people so many times say, like, oh, I'm going to have these pictures forever. Like, I really don't want to look back and, like, be upset at what I look like, which is so sad because it's just so fat phobic and, like, not based in health at all. It's just based in, like, this vanity that we've been taught. And the other thing that I think about often, especially with respect to women who are getting married or people who want to wear wedding dresses, is that just because Old Navy now has, like, a range of, like, women's jeans that go into plus size that are, like, the same price as, like, straight size jeans, doesn't mean that, like, the whole fashion industry has now, like, totally become inclusive of
people in larger bodies.
So imagine the wedding dress industry. Like, it's so much worse when you get into, like, couture, like, even, like, ready to wear, like, wedding, like, wedding dresses, right? Like, it's so much worse. Like, the lack of styles that are available for people in larger bodies becomes very stark, I imagine, when someone is going to shop for a wedding dress. So, like, you see what's available. If you're, like, you have a larger body and you see what's available for you, it's, like, totally different than what's available for a straight size person, which is so sad. And I wonder if that's, like, a really big driver of these like unhealthy behaviors.
It really could be. And I think you bring up a good point. And I guess I want to say as well that I'm approaching all of this and this conversation, obviously, with a lot of privilege being in a straight sized body. So some of those things that you mentioned are probably not even like issues or struggles that I'll encounter being in a straight sized body. So I'm just speaking from, you know, some of the things I've witnessed in the wedding industry, and I definitely will not have the same experience as, like you're saying, someone in a larger body that there won't be dresses available for them, or they'll feel even more pressure to lose weight or be treated worse by vendors and people like that at fittings and what have you. So I think that's a really really important point that you bring up. What I'm seeing now is like this shift from like hardcore you need to lose weight for the wedding, or like just like outright, just kind of like in diet culture, it's not as, you know, talk about weight loss and things like that, it's not as outright anymore, because people have kind of caught on that diets don't work. And I mean, it still exists for sure, but even the other day I was watching this, it's like this fitness trainer that's a part of the fitness app that I use and whatnot, and I was looking at her Instagram stories, and she was talking about, I think she's getting married relatively soon, and she was talking about someone had messaged her and said, like, what are you doing to prepare for the wedding? And I think, you know, they meant like diet and exercise wise. And her response, which I thought was really interesting, got like a lot of praise by her followers, but I was still like, this still feels diet, like steeped in diet culture to me. So what she said was like, she was like, I want to, obviously, she was like everyone, I want to feel my best on my, feel and look my best on my wedding day. And she was like, but I'm not doing anything drastic or different than what I usually do. She's like, because really, like, the hope is that by the time, you know, you're getting married, or like by the time your wedding comes around, you've already built up all these healthy habits that are just a routine for you, so you don't have to do anything crazy. So she's like, I'm basically just doing everything I always do, which is eat clean, which is get 10,000 steps a day and make sure I work out and drink lots of water, like blah, blah, blah. Like she was going on, but, and I was like, this is still steeped in diet culture, like eating clean definitely. And like, you know, having these rules around your steps or around your food. And that's still dieting, like whether you're doing it for the wedding, I guess, or not, it's still like, that still was steeped in diet culture. And she was getting so many, like she was posting responses to her stories from her followers that were like, oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Like, that's so inspiring that you're not doing anything drastic for the wedding. And I was like, ugh. I was just like, this still feels icky to me.
It definitely does.
So then in this blog post from this dietitian that I'm keep referring back to, she actually makes a really nice point about what like feeling good means. So kind of now comparing it to what this fitness influencer was saying. So the dietitian says there's a huge difference in wanting to feel good and care for yourself and wanting to lose weight and shape your body. And she says the wedding industry and the diet industry are not concerned with wanting brides to feel good. They want brides to look good. And what I'll say now, so this is me now talking, not the dietitian. I think that this feel good versus looking good thing gets really tangled up. Like, it's hard to tell what someone means when they say you want to feel your best. Like, do they
There's
say
you no want to definition.
Right. Yeah. So anyways, Robin, the dietitian, goes on to say, feeling good means sleeping enough, slowing down to enjoy the season of being engaged, eating foods that satisfy you, laughing a lot, doing movement that you enjoy, and caring for your mental, emotional, and spiritual health. It means working on your relationship with your soon-to-be spouse and preparing for the commitment that you're about to make. And I'm like, yeah, I love that. Like, that's to me, it's not eating clean and getting 10,000 steps a day. It's doing the things that you know, like, make you feel well and rested. Yes. And maybe for that fitness trainer, those things were the things that make her feel her best, but I just think it sounded a little bit restrictive to me.
Yes.
Yeah. So another little piece from this blog post, Robin says, throughout my journey to body acceptance, I had to shift how I recognized and understood beauty. So now we're kind of tying in the beauty industry. And she says, I had to continually remind myself of that learned skill during engagement and on my wedding day. Your changing body isn't going to heal your body image issues, because body image has nothing to do with your body. Body image is an external representation of an internal struggle. So you have to heal the inside. So I think that's also, I don't know, a really nice reminder, not just for anyone that's getting married and like that feels pressure to prepare for the wedding, but just for I don't know, I like that note about body image and how it has nothing to do with your actual body, because I think people talk so much about, if I just changed my body, I would be so much more confident, or if I just changed my body, everything
it's
would
false
be better
confidence.
Yeah,
because it has to do with vanity and other people's reaction to you rather than how you feel about yourself intrinsically. Mm-hmm. It's about how rewarding it feels to you if somebody says, oh, you look amazing, because some other person is also steeped in diet culture.
Yeah, and I think that I read this somewhere a long time ago, but body image as well is like,
and
good,
I've been there. Oh my God.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Something I read once, someone said that good body image isn't like loving your body all the time. Good body image is recognizing that your body, like something about like your body isn't, or the way your body looks is less important than like X, Y, and Z or so many other things. Which I really liked. You know, it's not necessarily about loving your body and being super confident. It's also about like recognizing that actually what my body looks like isn't the most important thing.
Definitely. I mean, I definitely still have insecurities, but they're just because I have been working hard at this over the years, but the confidence I've built from, I didn't know how to exercise. Like, I didn't know about movement and what I liked like 4 years ago. And I only like really just, that only just came into my life recently. But that, alongside with all of like the gentle nutrition that I have been learning, has really contributed to a lot of confidence. And my body has looked very different over the last 4 years. And even though there were like growing pains with those changes, I'm very grateful for a lot of confidence that I've built up over that time. And unfortunately, I think if somebody could be in like a really amazing place, but then you get engaged and you get married and all of a sudden there's so much attention on you, I can easily see how all of that work that somebody has done like is like so fragile, because all of a sudden there's so many eyes on you and so many expectations.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. Like having your, not just photos, but like your wedding day is really about you and your partner, and everyone's looking at you, and like you are the center of attention on your wedding day. So that's a really good point. Like that also contributes to the pressure, is like, everyone's going to be looking at me. So I think trying to, I guess
it partly is like an external validation. Like I want a wedding, but like it is partly an external validation thing too.
Totally. And yeah, I think it's important, I guess try to remember that, even though like everyone will be looking at you, like you don't have to try to look a certain way for them, or, you know, what you look like still isn't the most important, even if people are looking at
definitely.
You, you know?
I mean, I continue to find like the hardest life lesson for me is like learning to love oneself. Like I have to like keep teaching myself like over and over again, but that really is like, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
Like when you're in the zone. Yeah.
I know. There was something else I was going to mention. Hold on. Let me just check my notes here. I can't remember. Oh, so one thing I was going to say, and this reminded me when you said that, yeah, like all eyes are on you. This kind of, this doesn't really have to do with weddings, but, or not really at all, but in the last, I guess this last summer, so the last few months, I actually significantly saw a change in my body image and the way I like looked at my body and felt about the way that I looked. And I think a lot of it had to do kind of similarly about like having more eyes on you, but being more social after this last pandemic, you know, year and a half, and then getting vaccinated and being able to gather more and go to different events and things like that, and seeing people I hadn't seen in a long time. I felt suddenly so much more self-conscious of the way that I looked, even if, like, I don't know, I don't think really the way that I look has significantly changed over the last couple years. I'm sure it's probably been up and down over the last 2 years, but nothing like significant. And but just like suddenly being around people all the time and like presenting to people, I really struggle. I like, I'm still kind of dealing with it, but like, I had mentioned to Pat a few times that like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm really struggling with like body image. And it's not something over the pandemic that I felt like I struggled with. And I think it was because I wasn't seeing anyone, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't, there was no other bodies for me to one compare myself to, which I know I, you know, we shouldn't do, or we should try not to do. There wasn't other bodies around for me to like look at and compare myself to. There wasn't feeling like other people were looking at me. And there wasn't taking a lot of photos and things like that, because we weren't doing anything social.
Of course. Yeah.
So anyways, that, I guess that kind of ties into, like I can see how feeling like a lot more people are looking at you once you get engaged or are planning to get married, can affect the way that you feel about the way that you look or about your body.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to say, necessarily beautiful, because that shouldn't be the most important thing, but everybody deserves to feel, worthwhile and confident and like full of potential and success. Everybody deserves to have that feeling. And but the way that we do weddings is like, so there are so many things about it that are so strange. Like, you literally hide and then you like emerge from behind closed doors and then everybody turns around to look at you. Like, it's like so like eyes on me. Like, everybody deserves to feel amazing in that moment, but at the same time, it's totally understandable that that moment is like so overwhelming.
Yeah, totally.
And weddings are so full of that kind of thing.
Oh yeah. In this blog post, Robin mentions that, like, she says, she said, like, looking back now a year later, I realize more than ever, how much my appearance did not matter on that day, like on her wedding. She was like, what mattered was, how I was feeling and like, you know, the condition of my heart, I think is what she says. Yeah. And she says, did I feel beautiful? Absolutely. Did I feel over the moon excited? Absolutely. Did I get married? I sure did. That's what matters. And I don't have it in my notes, but she also mentioned how, like, yes, she felt beautiful, but she had also realized what that feeling beautiful, like, really didn't have anything to do with the size of her body.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's really, kind of a powerful reminder as well.
I agree.
And I also want to say, this wasn't in my notes, but how, and we've touched on this a little bit before, but how miserable dieting, like throughout the whole process of planning a wedding, would make everything. Like, just all the events, like if you have like, whether it's an engagement party or a bridal shower or a bachelor and bachelorette parties or whatever, like all those different events and, just all the time and effort that goes into planning.
The energy expenditure.
Yes, the energy expenditure. Yeah. I can't imagine like being basically like starved because I was dieting, doing all of those things. You'd be so much more miserable. You wouldn't be able to enjoy yourself fully. When you go out for these events and things like that, you'd be worried about food and making sure you're sticking to your diet or exercise plan. And like, So that all really takes away from the whole experience of getting married, like whether or not weddings should be so commercialized these days. Dieting and trying to shrink your body and like be as thin as possible for your wedding is literally just going to take away from the whole experience, in my opinion.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then when you go on your honeymoon, or when the wedding's over, you're probably going to
binge.
Yeah, feel out of control around food, because you just restricted yourself for the last 6 months, year, whatever it was.
It's so not fair too, because like you're supposed to be happy. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, and now you've got a shit relationship with food.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my little talk about, you know, dieting for the wedding and why I feel like maybe we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone has complete autonomy over what they do with their bodies. And if you want to diet and pursue weight loss for your wedding, I mean, I respect that. And you have total, like I said, autonomy to do that. However, I'm going to try to go the other route mm-hmm. and not do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be there to support you.
Oh, thank you.
Whatever you choose.
Thank you. Okay, well, I guess maybe you should tell me what's been tasty for you this week.
Actually, you know, I've just been thinking today, and I had a really good day of experiments today, which is really Aww. Tough because so, like, a lot goes into them, and it's very easy for things to fail, but when it goes right, it feels really good, and I had a really good day of experiments. Yeah, I'm proud
That's
of
amazing.
That.
Amazing. I'm proud of you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
It's nice to stop and appreciate when things go right, when the day is,
yes.
you know, when you have a good day. It's important.
Definitely. Celebrating yeah. is so important, and no one does it enough, I think.
Yeah,
I definitely don't do it enough.
Yeah.
What's been tasty for you?
Okay, so I have a little story that is kind of, I don't know why this is my tasty, but it just, I guess maybe it showed me that I had made progress, like, mentally. Anyways, you'll understand. So okay. when I was on my run this morning, mm-hmm. There's this crosswalk that connects, like, so there's this trail by my house, and it goes up, and then it goes to like a pretty busy street in the mornings, okay. and there's a crosswalk, and then the trail like continues on for quite a while, and so I have to go on the crosswalk every morning, and usually it's pretty busy, but generally like cars are really good at slowing down and stopping for sure. walkers and runners at the crosswalk, and I was on my way home. And I was like I actually like went into the crosswalk because the car that was coming towards me was like, I thought, far enough away that like they would see me and slow down. But I don't know if the woman driving was distracted or not paying attention, but she was also driving pretty fast. And so I got like almost halfway into the crosswalk and she's like still like speeding towards the crosswalk. So I kind of stopped and like back up a little bit. And she just like keeps going and goes through the crosswalk, doesn't stop or slow down.
Oh my gosh.
And so I just kind of like went like this, like I put my arms up and was kind of like, okay, like, you know,
like open hands emoji. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was kind of like, yeah. all right, cool. Yeah. And this woman looks at me and like laughs and flips me off.
You flips you off?
She flipped me off. Yeah. Like, and I'm the pedestrian.
Yeah, you're
the one,
you were the victim yeah. in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, and I was just, and I didn't do anything. Like, I just kind of went like, oh, okay. And then she was like, ah, like flipped me off. So I don't know if she, anyways. But anyways, instead
She's
of.
not a nice person.
I mean, I don't know. So instead, oh, I'm getting a tickle in my throat. I'm going to take a sip of water. I'm getting all worked up. Okay. Instead of getting all upset and letting that ruin my morning and ruin my run, because I had a really good yes. run and I was yes. feeling good, you know what? I just kept running and I thought to myself, I literally thought, like, this might sound like woo-woo to some people, but I like sent out like good energy to that woman from
That's
my
really nice of
mind.
you. Oh
And I
my
was just
gosh,
like,
that's
you know
so
what?
nice.
Maybe she's having a bad morning. Maybe she needs good energy more than I do. Like, and I was just like running and I just kept thinking, like, I hope she has a great day and like
Wow,
things go
that's
well for
very
her.
evolved.
Right. And I feel very evolved. And so that's my tasty. I just feel like,
That's huge.
I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would not have done that. I would have been like,
Yeah.
that fucking bitch. Like, you know, I would
Yeah.
have just been so
That's
pissed off the
very
rest of the
inspiring,
morning.
Hannah. That's
Thank
very
you.
inspiring. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So next
Oh
time,
my
maybe
gosh.
you guys can take this as inspiration. Maybe next time someone wrongs you or, you know, someone cuts in line in front of you or cuts you off
Yeah.
on the highway, you can just think, okay, well, I hope they have a great day. Maybe they're having, something's gone wrong today and they're in a bad mood or they're, you know?
Yeah, totally. I
Yeah.
mean, honestly, this person the other day, the power had gone out on my street, so like the lights were out
Oh,
even,
yeah.
so you had to be careful and like do four ways and stuff. This person driving in front of me was driving so recklessly and like was cutting not just me, but like was cutting everybody off like multiple times, like
Yeah.
and driving in a way that was cutting people off and like merging into oncoming traffic at the wrong time. Like she almost hit me twice,
Oh
and
my
I
gosh.
like it really I could have got so mad, but I'm a very, very defensive driver and I try to be extremely aware. And yeah, I was more than mad. I was just like, I'm so disappointed. Like
Yeah.
I can't believe you would drive like that. Like usually I
Yeah.
would get so upset. And I don't even like doing this, but all I did was like I gave her like a little beep the second time she did that. I was like, you need to be careful.
Yeah.
Like what you're doing is like you could be hurting a lot of people. But yeah, I was just sad. I was like, well. But you know what? Now that you said that, I'm like, I'm sending her positive vibes and driver training vibes
That's what I was
because
thinking. I was sending her better driving skills.
it was really dangerous. It's so scary to see like a dangerous driver on the
It
road.
is. I know. Yeah. And
Yeah.
I mean, that woman this morning, obviously, that was dangerous too.
Yes,
She clearly
definitely. Yes.
just sped through across. And like, there's lots of walkers and runners and bikers on that trail. So, anyways, but
Oh my.
I hope she had a wonderful day.
Speaking of having wonderful days, we've been having amazing days on the podcast with everybody, and we've come to a spot where we need a hiatus,
Yep.
and we hope you enjoy the episodes that we've been giving out over this season, and we hope that during this time, maybe you'll be able to go back and listen to some episodes that you haven't caught before, or maybe introduce the podcast to somebody who it's new for, who can go through the journey from the very beginning, and who, you know, maybe might need a little bit of support that hopefully we can provide through some of the gentle nutrition that
Yeah.
this podcast offers.
Yeah. You know what? We, like Tarek said, we love, 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 love chatting with you all every week, now
Totally.
twice a week.
Yeah.
However, yeah, the last month or so, our schedules have just been off the charts.
It would be nice if
And
like this was our schedule. If like this
I
was,
agree. Yeah.
yeah, our
I know.
journal. Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to take a little break, maybe a long break. We don't know. You know
Yeah.
what? We're just going to feel it out. Get what we need to get
Yeah.
done. And then we will revisit the podcast. But like
Exactly.
he said, we've got tons of episodes. So if you haven't listened to the first season, go back and listen to the first season or the second or the third. Because there's lots of good stuff in there.
We really
And
have cranked out a lot of content.
I know we have. And there's some gems in there.
There
So
are some gems in there.
yeah. But we will miss you all, friends of the pod. So make sure you're following us on our personal social media pages, handles, so that you
Yes.
can stay in touch and keep up with what we're doing. So the links will be in the description. And yeah, share the podcast, share it around, let people know about it. That will make us even more excited to come back sooner. if we've got lots of new listeners. Not that we don't
and
love
I
you.
Mean if it keeps growing, maybe it does become something that becomes more sustainable for us as it does.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's everything we have to say. We love you all, and
love
we'll
you
be
so
back.
Much.
We'll
love
talk
you, love
to
you,
you
love
all
you.
Soon.
Bye.